Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a fellow who was around our county for a long time. He hauled water. He hauled everything for people. He was known for his dancing and giving away quarters. Just a really nice fella. His name was Brady Teeter. We're going to talk to his daughter, Roberta Stennett, about his life and his contribution to our community. We'll do that right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday as we continue to learn about people, places, and things in our county. Well, today we're going to be talking about a fellow that I had the pleasure of knowing. A lot of people had the pleasure of knowing this guy. You may have been a customer of his, or you may have gotten a quarter from him, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. We're going to talk about a fellow named Brady Teeter. Now, his daughter is with us today, Roberta Stennett, and we welcome you to the program.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. We're going to talk about your dad. Your dad was such a well-liked man in this community and known by a whole lot of people. And I guess the best way to start is kind of his beginnings. Let's talk about who his parents were and where he was born and kind of how he came to be. Tell us about Brady.
Brady was one of three boys. Mm-hmm. He was in the middle. They were born like 1900, 1902. Daddy was born 1902.
Okay.
And the next one, the baby, was born 1904. Their parents were Cyrus Newton Teeter, that we call Pappy Teeter.
Uh-huh.
And his mother was Larvell House. She was Benjamin House's daughter.
Well, now let me ask you some connections here, maybe. As far as the Teeter side, were related to like the Curry Teeters and all that bunch?
No.
No relation to them?
There were like separate sets of Teeters.
And on your grandmother's side, the Houses, would that have been the Houses like that were kin to Ellistine Hager and that bunch?
Yes.
So you are connected to that down in Pollard?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. They were all from here, I'm assuming, from Jessamine County?
Laura Bell, that family, the Benjamin House's family, had moved in from another county.
But they were here for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Now, was the Teeters here for a long time, too? Your dad, your grandfather's bunch?
Yes.
Yeah, for years and years.
Yeah.
All right, so they meet, and they have three boys at the turn of the century. You said 1902 and 1904. And your dad was the middle child. Now, who was his brothers? What was their names?
The brothers were Buford, who is June Carroll Blackford's father.
Okay.
And the 1904 one was Walter, and his children were Ruby Rue and Buddy Teeter. There are two Buddy Teeters.
Right. Now, you're talking about Vernon.
Vernon.
Buddy.
Yes.
Whose wife's name was Dorothy.
I think
that's right. Yeah. And the other one is Perry Lee, but we're talking about Vernon's. Now, on the other side, you mentioned June Carroll. Who was her dad?
Buford. There were two Bufords, and they lived very close together.
Yeah.
Both of them had, both of the Bufords had nicknames.
Okay. All right. Well, we've established the family now. Let's talk more about Brady. Brady grew up. Did Brady go through all of school, or was he like a lot of people back then that maybe didn't go all the way? Tell us about that.
He went to some school. I'm not sure how far he went.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember even hearing him discuss schooling, but he was in favor of his children having good education.
I'm sure. All right, so Brady is a young boy growing up in the early part of the century, 1902. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
So he was growing up in his teenage years in the teens, the 19-teens. Were they a farming family?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that most of his work involved the farm.
It did.
It's early on.
Uh-huh. The home place, his home place had like beautiful grape arbors.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the grapes were big and green, and a hobby globe.
Where was that? Where was the home place?
That's down at Little Hickman.
Okay.
Go off of Gayheart Lane.
Yes.
And a nice house. Brady, my father, he liked vehicles very early. He was interested.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
He was instructed by his parents.
Yeah.
None of the boys were to bring vehicles in.
They were all young.
They were not to bring.
And you know what? At his age, that's when vehicles were just starting. He saw the first, the Model T right off the...
Yes, he saw the first, and he was visiting somebody, I think maybe on Kissing Ridge. So he was visiting there, and they saw this thing coming down the road.
It was a horseless carriage, wasn't it?
And he wondered, is it going to get stopped?
Yeah.
Because they were near like a cliff. But his interest in vehicles was really something. But like I said, his parents, the boys, were not to bring
one
vehicles
home.
In. Mm. So the first vehicle that came, my mm-hmm. father, brought, mm-hmm. he brought it and hid it in the barn.
Oh, is that right? Do you know? How long before he found out?
Well, that night at supper, the baby child.
Yeah, yeah. Gave it up.
He said, guess what's in the barn?
Daggone little brothers, you just can't trust them at all, can you?
So they said, whoever brings a vehicle in here, they knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
They were looking ahead.
Yeah.
We'll have to just pack their things up and leave. You know, back then, people have mountains of garments.
Yes.
Back then,
they
had only the essentials.
That's right.
After that, okay, so the parents spoke up and said, Remember what we decided, you know, several weeks ago, maybe. So my dad, the next morning, he packed his things up. He had his clothes in a paper sack, in a big paper sack.
And they just, like you said, they didn't have a whole lot, and what you had, you made it last.
Yeah.
You had to.
So, anyway, the scene changed mm-hmm. at that point. Mm-hmm.
How old would he have been around that time? Do you know?
He would have been, that was before he bought a truck, probably 18,
okay.
maybe.
Okay. So, when he finally decided to go out kind of on his own
mm-hmm.
And leave the nest, did he continue in farming? What did he do?
He hauled cattle.
Yeah. So he got him a truck. You started to say that.
In 1924, I think, was his first truck.
And started hauling cattle, like to sell and to stockyards, stuff like that.
Anything to be hauled.
Yeah.
Daddy would haul it. I have some records of all of the truck, what they cost, the years, their colors, and all of that. But each year, he would trade his trucks, and he had to do major things with them
mm-hmm.
to be able to do what he wanted to do.
Oh, I bet.
There had to be a loading chute, and that's gone by the wayside with the gooseneck
trucks.
That's
right. Yep.
That's gone by
the
wayside. So he moved people.
Mm-hmm.
He moved their furniture. In fact, he was moving the Miles Hill family to Ohio.
Yeah.
And Miss Hills had chicken. Daddy, Brady.
Right.
I need to say Brady or Daddy.
Your daddy. You call him Daddy because that's who he was to you.
So Daddy told Mrs. Hill, said, we need to put those chickens in some crates.
Mm-hmm.
She said, oh, no, they'll be okay.
In the truck. Did he make it okay, I hope? No.
When he got to Ohio.
Yeah.
Feathers were on everything. But the instances that he has had with the drivers.
Oh, I bet. I bet he could have written a book, a funny book. Let me ask you, you said he got into hauling. I wanna go off on a side road here because he's a grown man at this point in time and he's doing his business and all this kind of stuff. Before you go any further, tell us about your mom. Who was your mother?
My mother belonged to Floyd and Nanny Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
There were 10 children. The two oldest ones, my grandmother,
mm-hmm.
Nanny Elizabeth Dean. She was a dean. She was a sister to Sherman Dean's father.
Yeah.
Woodford Dean, mm-hmm. and who was, into the Deans.
Mm-hmm. And for those people who may be new to our listening area, Sherman Dean was a county judge executive here in our county
long
time. He also sold insurance, and he was on the school board, did a lot of things in our community.
Okay, now you're Sherman Jr.
Sherman Jr. Now, his dad, his
Sherman.
Grandfather, Sherman.
Uncle Sherman.
Yeah, then his grandfather was Woodford. Woodford?
Is that right? Their grandfather, well, maybe.
But they're hooked in to who you're talking about. Now, you said your mother was a Brooks. The name Forrest is coming to my mind.
She would have been a first cousin to
Forrest Brooks. Okay, I'm trying to get all this connected here. Now, what point in time did her and Brady meet?
I don't know. My mother was only 14 years old. And let's see, Riley was born 2 years later. And I don't know how they, I really don't mm-hmm. know the details on that, but I've got a copy of their marriage license.
And since you brought up that, let's go on and talk about the kids. Now, this is you and your siblings. Who was the oldest?
Oldest, uh-huh. Riley Teeter.
Riley was the oldest.
He's been back to his house in Lexington since 2013.
Really? Well, that's why I haven't seen Raleigh.
Many people ask about him.
Yeah, and one thing I do know about Raleigh that a lot of people might remember, especially if you're from around here, he was a big baseball player, wasn't he?
Yes.
Did he play pro ball or could have?
He was the farm team in the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And the stories that he has told me of, got out of high school in 46, mm-hmm. and there was an ad. They wanted people to come to Lexington and try out.
Yeah.
So he was taken. And I'll tell you this. Do you know who Bill White is?
No.
Well, Bill White and Riley still gets cards from. They still communicate with each other. Riley mm-hmm. likes to write. Mm-hmm. My dad loved to write.
Really?
He wrote on everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Phone numbers.
So Riley does too.
He likes to write and communicate with people.
Yeah.
Now, he's not into computers at all.
Yeah.
It's manual.
Right.
Bill White was the first black Major League Hall of Famer.
Really?
Riley, and in going through some things of Raleigh's, there was a 2-page letter written on tablet by Bill White mm-hmm. in 1966, mm-hmm. 2 pages mm-hmm. of just handwritten letter telling Raleigh what he was doing. Now, it's my understanding that not Pennsylvania, someplace up north, mm-hmm. but he was not really interested in being so famous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't friendly with the media.
Yeah, yeah. He just kind of off to himself in some regards. He liked to play ball, but that did, you know.
He was a good player.
Yeah.
And something else, too, when he was with the Cardinals,
uh-huh.
Jim Reeves.
The singer?
Yes.
Yeah, he played. I forgot. He played baseball, too, didn't he? Did he play with Jim Reeves?
Yes. He said all of the boys of night after they got through practicing, and he said the instructions to them were they had to be carried out exactly.
Mm-hmm.
When they were on the road,
mm-hmm.
they wore gray uniforms. When they were at home and played, they wore white. And we've got the uniforms with the Cardinals.
Oh, really? Wow. That's some good history just for Raleigh himself. I know who they are, but you tell who Raleigh's children are, so we want to identify them.
Gary, mm-hmm. Raleigh's children.
And he's still here.
Gary Dean mm-hmm. Teeter.
Yeah.
And Rhonda Dean Ellison.
Yeah.
Rhonda Dean Teeter Ellison.
Okay. All right, so we take care of Raleigh, and he's a boy, and then along comes you, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, was it just
and my name's Robert with an A on the end.
That's right, it is. Robert with an A. Now, was it just you two?
No, there are 3 girls.
I don't know that. Do I know that? Who's the other 2 girls before we talk about you? Who's the other 2?
Well, the next one is Billie Jean.
All right.
Billie Jean Teeter.
Yeah.
And she passed away a couple of years ago. The next one, the youngest, it's Raleigh and Roberta, Billie Jean and Nana.
Okay.
Nana is the youngest. In fact, she's 7 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm. Who was she married to?
Donald Young, the builder.
Yes, okay. I knew that. Yes, I know who you're talking about, and I apologize for not remembering that. Is Billie Jean, is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
That's the one I guess I did not
know.
Well,
she was...
But your youngest sister, I do know who that is.
Well, Billie was 17 months younger than me.
Yeah.
And she passed away. She was 84, and she liked to draw. She liked to write.
Mm-hmm.
I started writing a book when we moved to the King Road in 1936.
Mm-hmm.
I've written a book.
Oh, that would be good. And you just mentioned King Road. I want to mention to people, because we have a lot of people who listen to our program that, when I say they're new to our community, they've maybe been here less than 20 years, so they're somewhat new. But folks, if you go out like you're going to Lowe's, there's four corners there. On one corner is the R.J. Corman St. Joseph Hospital.
Right.
On the other corner is the First Southern Bank. On the other corner is the Rite Aid and Lowe's. Well,
yes.
The fourth corner, there's a great big two-story white house, and there's water trucks in the yard, and that's a favorite place of people running for elections. They put their signs out in that field. That's the Teeter Farm. That's where your dad was, and that's where you're talking about on King Road.
We moved there in 1936 in the spring. Nana was born in 36.
Mm-hmm.
When we moved there, Bell Place, which is where First Southern?
Right.
Okay. That family there was the Grove family.
Yeah.
Woodford Grove's mother and
yes,
daddy.
Yes, who used to be mayor. Woody Grove was mayor.
Yeah.
And then across the road, was that the Knetzers?
Was Sally Steele Taylor place.
Yes.
And Anna Steele.
Anna Steele.
And
one of the sweetest ladies that ever walked, Anna Steele Taylor. I remember her from Nicholsville Baptist Church. Very nice lady. And, of course, the thing about it, and people don't realize this now, I was talking to somebody the other day, I think it was my son, that when you went out that road, when you got out about where Southern States used to be, Stratton Lumber, beyond that, you were out in the county.
Right.
I mean, that was it. You know, where you grew up was...
Our farm is still
that was,
the county.
But that was way out in the county back
That's
then.
That's right.
When you grew up,
horses,
that was way...
chickens.
Oh, yeah.
And
you didn't have the bypass. You had that one little road going through there to Keene.
That's what I have in my book.
Yeah.
My book.
That'll be interesting.
Title.
That's interesting. It does?
It does.
What, can you tell us?
I haven't finished it.
Okay.
The name of my book is Rose in a Tree.
Rose in a Tree. Now, there's got to be a meaning for that.
Okay. The rose part, when we moved in 1936 to the Keene Park, our grandfather and grandmother on the Teeter side purchased that.
Okay. So, did it grow a lot of roses there?
There were two rose bushes.
Yeah.
They stayed for years and years and years. Today, one of them still blooms.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Other than the rose, that's why I chose that. Now,
yeah.
The other part is the tree.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that has to do with my late husband and
okay.
me, Bennis.
And we're going to get into that right now, because we've talked about Raleigh and Nana and Billie Jean, but let's talk about Roberta a minute, and then we are going to get back to Brady in just a little while. You married Bennis Stennett. Now, a lot of people remember Bennis. Bennis had a brother named Milton, who they called Red. Your husband, Lord, how much coal did that man haul in his lifetime, along with other things, too? But a lot of people knew Bennis had a place over on 4th Street there. And so, when did you all marry? When did you and Bennis get married?
October the 29th, 1966.
How'd you meet him?
Well, I don't know. You probably don't remember this, but a long time ago, Bennis had convertibles. He was a vehicle person, too.
Kind of like your dad.
Yeah. They both liked vehicles.
Yeah. So they got along real well. When you brought Bennis home, Brady was probably pretty happy, wasn't he?
I think shocked. But girls from Bennis's neighborhood, they didn't have, back then, they didn't have ways to go to
run
to town and buy something.
Yeah, you didn't do that.
Run back home, you did not do that.
No, you came to town maybe once a week and got your stuff, and that
Saturday
was it.
Night.
Yeah, there you go. So did he come to town and see you one night? Is that how it happened?
He had a convertible, and these girls would all get in his vehicle. He'd bring them to town.
Yeah.
But he didn't stay with them.
He'd drop them off.
No, they sat in the car.
Oh. He'd get out and go.
And I would see him. See, Riley could build stuff. Mm-hmm. And he built Bennis some racks. Mm-hmm. The thing that I would say about Bennis was he was always neatly dressed.
Yes.
And you never knew what he was thinking.
Well, and he was a good businessman.
He was.
He was a good businessman.
He was a manager. He said it didn't matter what you make, it's what you do with it.
Right. And the thing that I remember a lot about Bennis, of course, Bennis was always very nice to me, but Bennis was very interested, from what I know, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I know he was always very active in your church. And seemed like, from best I can remember, Bennis was very good about visiting people in nursing homes and things like that. He really cared about people's welfare, didn't he? Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He had it in the funeral homes.
Yeah, yes, that's right. He did, too. Yeah, Bennis was a nice guy. He really was. When did we lose Bennis?
November the 30th, 2006.
And that's, gosh, 11, that's gone quick, hasn't it? Gone quick. Nice guy. So that was your husband. Did you all have children?
No.
You didn't have children. All right.
I just had nieces and
nephews.
All right,
that was enough to raise. All right, so we've got all the family taken care of. Let's talk a little bit more about Brady now. Now, when I remember Brady Teeter, the first thing that would go through my mind is hauling water. Now, it would make sense. He hauled everything else in the world. At some point in time, did he just go to hauling water, or did he continue to haul everything?
No, he was hauling water, feed out of Louisville, making various trips. In fact, Riley told me about them going into Indiana and taking something. Riley was with Daddy a lot.
Yeah.
He was out with Daddy a lot.
Yeah.
And Riley said, that's where I learned to eat eggs, just not cooked a lot, but whatever they call them, light over or whatever.
Yeah, something.
You know, just barely.
Over easy or something. Yeah,
over easy. Yeah. I have learned, Riley has been back in the area more, not out in trucks, that I've learned the things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get off of Daddy. Oh, well, we'll get back on Daddy.
Okay.
But Riley told me Mr. Cottle ran the train station.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that would be Roger Easley's wife.
Yeah. Roger was a postmaster here. We're connecting it all together. Yeah. Wilma.
Well, Mr. Cottle ran the train station.
Mm-hmm.
And Riley, at different times, went to Cincinnati to the ball game by himself. And I said, did Mama know you were out doing all those things? He said, no, but Daddy did.
And that was fine. That's funny. Now, a couple of things I want to ask you about Brady in particular. I know he did the hauling and used to have a place over here on Shun Pike, right here within the city, for years. I hauled his water.
So, man.
Yeah. There's two things, though, I want to particularly ask you about Brady. One, the quarters. I mentioned this at the beginning of the program. I wish I knew how many people that I have talked to that talks about Brady giving them a quarter.
Yeah.
Loads and loads and loads of adults in this town.
That's right.
How did that start? Did he just all of a sudden decide that's what I want to do?
Well, he was a generous person.
And he'd just see a kid on the street? And is that how it worked?
Well, probably. He also carried candy.
Yeah.
Candy suckers and stuff. He was very generous. When we were little, he would be out in the truck. One of the things that he would bring was beech nut chewing gum.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't bring candy a lot, but he would bring beech nut chewing gum.
Mm-hmm.
And other things he would bring, fruit.
Yeah.
If you remember the grapes at Oscar Cumley's store, they put the fruit on the outside and these big wooden crates.
Out on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On benches on the front. You could put, this sounds like a teeter tail, But you could pick up one of those bunches, and it would might be this long.
Yeah.
A big red grape.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
didn't have to be washed.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were in the wooden crate, and people used the wooden crate.
Well, and the thing about it back then, they didn't have all these pesticides and all that stuff.
No.
Preservatives. They were fresh.
That's right.
They were good to eat. For those that are listening on Main Street, it's empty building right now, but right across the street, right next door to where the big drawing is down here, kind of was the location of Cumley's grocery store right down here on Main Street, where you're talking
Heathman's?
About. Well, before you get to Heathman's was Cumley's. If you remember, it was right next to Old Thompson's Market, which eventually I learned this on this program, that when Cleveland and Elizabeth Thompson first opened their store down there, Cumley's was right next door, and they ended up buying it and building a new store. If you remember the Thompsons when they were down here before they went to Edgewood. Yeah. But that's the way it used to be. You'd walk down the street in front of these grocery stores and all that produce would be just sitting right out on the sidewalk. We see that in movies and TV and we don't think it happened here, but it did, didn't it?
It did.
That's the way it was.
Uh-huh.
So that's the first thing is the quarters. I remember that about him. But I'll tell you something else I remember about your dad. Where did he learn to dance?
Yeah, he loved to dance.
Wow.
He loved music. And in fact, we always had musical instruments.
Did he play an instrument?
Daddy didn't play, but his mother did.
Did she?
She played an accordion.
An accordion?
Wow.
Yes. That's hard. Do you play?
I do.
What do you play? I'm interested here. Well, I didn't know this.
Remember the Jasmine Jamboree?
Yes.
I played piano for the Gospel Five.
Did you really? Does Raleigh play anything?
Raleigh loves music also.
Yeah.
He liked to have me play for his girlfriends.
Oh, yeah?
When we moved to the Keene Pike, we had a pump organ.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy said when the organ wore out that he'd get us a piano.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Elm Fork Church was getting a new piano, and they wanted to give away
the old
their old one.
And you got it.
We got it.
Isn't that good?
We got it.
That's good.
And upright. And we continued to play. All of us played. Mother played, too.
Yeah.
Mother could play accordion, harmonica, and organ. Yeah, she could do all that.
Wow.
And Billy played. And Nana played.
Yeah.
Somehow we were saturated with music, radio music.
Well, you know, I remember several years ago, and I'm going back in the 80s, I guess, we used to have dances down at the Sportsman's Club.
That's right.
And
Daddy went.
Yes, he did. That's the first time I ever saw him dance. Bill Laney sometimes would play the music. Sometimes I would. Sometimes Benny Rainwater and his group would sing. There was different things.
Yeah.
Well, the thing I will always remember about Brady Teeter, it didn't matter who he danced with. It didn't matter what their age was. He could outdance them all. He could dance longer than anybody I guess I ever knew. And it was just amazing because now you think about it. Folks, in the 80s when Brady was dancing, he was 80 years old.
Yeah.
And he would dance like a 20-year-old. He had the strength to do that. It was amazing to me. And he was a good dancer, too. And there was people couldn't keep up with him. But Brady was a dancer. He loved to dance.
Yeah, he did. And we always had record players.
Yeah, always had music.
Yeah, in fact, Daddy would put the radio on early in the morning. You got up to this lady that sang Did You Think to Pray?
Yeah, you're going back a ways now, aren't you? Let me ask you two questions. Now, when did your mother pass?
September of 99.
And when did Brady, you said 2000 and when?
Daddy passed away 99. No, 95.
Okay.
1995.
95, okay.
At the age of almost 93.
Yeah, I know. He had gotten, and he was really active right close to the end, wasn't he? I mean, he stayed active on up there.
Yeah, he told me when he got to where he couldn't do a lot, he told me, he said, if I can just get out and pull one bunch of weeds, I feel better.
Yeah.
And I think of that, how important it is for people my age to do things.
To do something, yes. Well, let me ask you, let's start with your mom. If you had to describe your mom using a word, what would you do? How would you describe her?
I would say that she was very low-key. I do not remember her ever raising her voice at one of us, mm-hmm. or being not nice to anybody, mm-hmm. you know, anybody that came along. All of the truck drivers, they would go in the house and sit and talk with Mother, mm-hmm. Mama, mm-hmm. and she was never, ever too busy that she didn't take time for you.
Yeah.
And yeah. People, something else, she was a good seamstress. Mm-hmm. She was into, when we would come from school, the next thing from getting off the school bus, she would meet us, and we'd look at the books. If there was homework, that was it. That was homework.
Yeah.
And she seemed to just kindly, see, she was young. Mm-hmm. And then we came along, and it was more like she was one of us.
Yeah.
Doing
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
I never saw her. I don't think I ever saw her upset with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. as far as not being, her brother, she was one of 10 children.
Yeah.
And her brother, preacher, Roland.
Roland Brooks.
Yeah. Was Mama's brother.
Okay. Yeah.
And did you know Clarence?
Yeah, I think I did. I remember Roland.
Yeah. Alice Marie Blakeman.
Lived down on the Y, down in towards there.
And they just sold his house.
Yeah. Nice
his
guy.
Son.
Nice fella. He sure
Roland
was.
Roland Brooks. Mm-hmm. Their demeanor was kindly a laid back. Mm-hmm. Wasn't any big drama.
Right.
Any big drama about anything.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I ask about your mom. Let me ask you the same question about Brady. Give me a word that you would describe Brady. If somebody walked up and had never met him,
uh-huh.
what's a good word you would use to describe your dad?
Well, I'd say that he was, if I was going to describe Daddy, I would first describe what he looked like, probably. He was tall. He had really bright blue eyes, mm-hmm. which that ran with the House family.
Mm-hmm.
His mother and Daddy both had blue eyes,
mm-hmm.
and the first two of us got blue eyes.
Yeah.
The next two got brown eyes. But that he was a person that would help. He liked doing things for people. In fact, one of his drivers, he wanted to make sure that they had Christmas toys, and the driver got a little bit of extra pay.
He was a very generous man then.
He was. You're supposed to be generous.
Yeah, you are. A lot of us aren't as generous as we should be, are we?
Well, I don't know about that. When it tells you, well, I guess you have to draw some lines about what you do and what you don't do. But Daddy was a very versatile person, mm-hmm. and my mother was too.
Mm-hmm.
Very versatile in what they did.
Yeah.
And the music.
Yeah.
And I took accordion lessons,
mm-hmm.
and I had a loaner accordion,
mm-hmm.
a little black one. And I was working in Lexington at UK. And Mama, she would have access. We'd get off of Daddy. Mama would have access to the accordion during the day when I was gone. So
yeah.
she was playing it during the day.
Yeah.
But at some point, I had to take it back.
Yeah.
It wasn't heavy. And she was doing it while I was gone. She was doing with the accordion. Plus, probably sewing. Answering
yeah.
the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Answering the
keeping
phone
the
for
house
the business.
And cooking and everything.
Yeah, nothing. There was never dirty dishes.
Yeah.
I don't.
Makes you wonder how she got
really
it all done.
I really appreciate my parents.
I bet. Yeah, you should.
Well, anyway, when I took the accordion back, of course, they wanted to sell me one, and I bought it.
So she could play it all the time then. You need to finish your book so I can read that.
The tree. I didn't tell you about the tree, why I chose the tree.
Yeah, right. The rose and the tree.
The rose is on the King Pot. The tree is on the Southwell Road
okay.
at the old Hattie Snowden place.
Okay.
What really took Bennis's eye about that place was a tree.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall, it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't up with the other trees. It was down closer to the road.
Mm-hmm.
But he would see that tree every year. And then he brought my attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would go by there, but I didn't pay attention to the tree. But the tree took his attention, and then he saw the place could be for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought it. But we had not been there very long till the tree no longer
mm-hmm.
wasn't there.
Is that where the home place is there at the corner of Hoover and Sufferwell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's where I live now.
Right.
And I put that in there.
Yeah, so there's the rose and the tree.
Rose and the tree.
Well, I look forward to you getting that done. Well, let me, before our time is up, let me just tell you how much I didn't have the pleasure, I guess, of knowing your mom.
Okay.
But I knew Brady. And I always enjoyed seeing Brady out and about and whatever capacity it was, whether it was dancing at the Sportsman's Club or if he came down by the funeral home when I worked there to see him out and about. Just a really nice guy. Brady Teeter was just one of those fellas that everybody liked and everybody enjoyed being around. And I know you're proud that he was your dad.
I do.
Both of my parents. Both of them especially. But
like
I say, I didn't know her or knew him, and just an extremely great guy, and has taken care of a lot of people in our county over the years in hauling things for farmers or moving people or water. No telling how many gallons of water that man hauled. And Raleigh kept on the tradition, and I know Gary does too. And of course, your husband, he hauled a lot of stuff also. Yeah, cattle and coal and everything. But I just want to tell you, I appreciate you coming in and learning, telling us a little more about Brady and the family. We appreciate you doing that and adding to this program that we're doing about Jessamine County. Brady was a great part of it, and I appreciate you coming.
My thanks to Roberta Stinnett for coming in this morning and sharing the stories and the life of her dad, Brady Teeter. I appreciate you coming in this morning, too. We'll do it next Saturday at 11 as well. Don't forget, I have a regular show here on the station every weekday morning. We get you up and going from 6 until 8 a.m. Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.